Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
We're away to Notting Hill Gate this week to explore a building that's been hiding in plain view. It sounds like a success story to me, with some property porn thrown in for free.
Hey baby, let me take you down, so we'll play some strange sights and sounds you ain't never seen the like before. Just a stone's throw from your front door.
The place that you find me at the start of this week's podcast is a bit unusual. I'm on stage. The lights are on me, and ranged against me are 180 seats for an audience that is not here. In fact, we're alone in the coronet here at Notting Hill Gate. With me is Anda Winters. She's the artistic director of the print room at the coronet. Hi, Anda.
Hello, how are you?
I'm pretty good, yes. There's something quite comfortable, peculiarly, about this setup. You'd have thought it would feel strange or empty or something, but it really doesn't.
No, it does have, actually, it does have living ghosts in here. And I think maybe this is why you're feeling this presence of people around us. Coronet originally was a theatre, an opera house built in 1898, and closed very soon as a theatre in about 1910, where it became a cinema, because people are more interested in pictures than theatre itself. So there are a lot of ghosts, probably Ellen Terry, walking around us, and many other people who lived here and worked here.
Is it possible to pin down... By the way, I do feel relaxed. It's bizarre for you to introduce ghosts, but for relaxation to result. How does a place identify itself now? What is its primary purpose?
Well, primary purpose is a theatre, but also we would like to build it into a multidisciplinary centre, so where we have dance, music, arts exhibits, theatre, poetry, and so on.
Well, we should probably unpack without any delay what the print room is. And when the print room first came across my radar, I imagined that it was somebody with lithographs. What is the print room?
Actually, we started on Hereford Road, and it was print room. Actually, name came from an old warehouse, and it used to be a printing house. And we were there about 4 or 5 years, but unfortunately we had to leave the place, which was very dear to us, because landlord wanted to turn it into luxury apartments.
Not more luxury apartments?
More, yes, unfortunately.
And what was your organisation doing? What were you making?
Well, we were making theatre, mainly theatre. We did have music and, of course, dance, which was very important. We did have some poetry reading workshops for the actors and art exhibits. We had artists like Evan Turk, Sophie Lascheid from Belgium, and many others.
So you're exactly the sort of organisation that premises and studio space and all that stuff, that's the real challenge quite often, isn't it?
Well, it is a challenge. Actually, more challenge was moving into this building from Hereford Road, to be honest, because when I walked in first time, we virtually used flashlights, because most of the rooms in this building, except the main auditorium, was not in use since 1920s or 30s, when, you know, theater was shut down and they did not need dressing rooms anymore, except one where the cinema kept popcorn for the audience.
What was your first experience like? Can you Can you talk us through that?
Well, frightening. I remember walking inside and the box office was sort of a formica, kind of a box that really looked out of the place in the reception. And it was dark, it was damp, it was just weird, frightening actually. And I remember opening some of the doors that were never opened before by a living person known to us, right? And that was quite frightening. History of wallpapers, some furniture, bottles, glasses, cigarette cases from sort of 1930s.
You strike me as the person on our brief acquaintance who embraces the past. We had a short conversation before recording about the joy of antique writing tables.
Yeah.
And so I guess it would take quite a bit to unnerve you. But at the same time, how did you end up being the one to open the door?
Well, because we had to move out of the Hereford Road. And you can imagine, trying to find a space in this neighbourhood is very difficult. I was away during the Christmas, and I got a phone call from a dear friend of mine, Wasfi, and she said, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, she said, Coronet is for sale, you better come down. So then a few days later, when I came back, we did come, we had a look at it, and there was an auction for the Coronet, and that's how we got it.
Well, I'm presuming that at that auction must have been all the people who want to turn this into luxury flats as well, surely?
Yes, yes. I guess this is why we got it, because we're probably the only one who did not want to turn this into something else but have a life continue as a theatre.
So there was a sort of an ethical dimension to this.
Well, this is what I think, yes.
Listener, if you don't know about Acast, Acast is our platform through which we broadcast on Londonist. So if you find us on the Londonist site, you'll be seeing pictures popping up right about now of the room in which we sit. And it's got that, what is now called shabby chic. But really, this has a lot of fin de siècle extravagance about it. You can see the traces of the opera house it once was. I wonder how much of this is original. It strikes you that probably quite a lot is.
There's quite a lot original, but a lot of it was changed about 30 years ago, where the colors, we, for example, we had a paint specialist to see what the original colors were in the inside of the theater. And there are about 40 different layers of colors that range from, started originally beige and silver and gold, and then it ended up to reds and greens and blues, and it looks like an ice cream, you know. Spectrum of colors. This burgundy purple color now, it's probably 20, 30 years old, because for cinema they need a dark color.
That's, do you know, I was just going to ask you that. I was curious because so many places of entertainment, whether it's theatres or cinemas, use this color palette. We've got golden cherubs and vine leaves at the front. We've got shields in picked out in gold, and then it's that burgundy and the purple that you referred to.
We're sitting right now, this is a balcony level, and what we did, because there is no stage here, because the previous owners closed the stage so they could have two cinemas. So we're sitting at the moment on a level of the balcony, on a stilts, which is temporary.
Okay, that's...
I have to show you in a
That's seat. Very peculiar.
Stalls are down below.
The stalls are below us?
The stalls are below us, which we turn into a temporary bar for the theatre.
Yeah, okay. This is quite a weird experience, because I was fairly certain when I came in here that I've been to see a film here, and I distinctly remember the narrow and steep staircase at the right there, seeing off a fellow who was carrying 3 cartons of popcorn up those steps. And there was a misstep, and it rained popcorn, and this guy was rather embarrassed there in the dark. So the level we're on here is, it's a stage made out of long planks, but the planks don't comfortably meet the arc of facade around us.
At the moment, because this is just a set. Underneath these planks, it is a stage.
So how much further down does it go?
Oh, it goes, I would say, 5 meters. We're virtually on a scaffolding now.
Which is bizarre, because we're actually sitting on a couch in a stage set's front room.
Yes.
Should we get exploring and have a look around?
Let's have a look. I want to show you the bar and the dressing rooms.
So here we go. As we clamber over the edge of the stage, I'm going to try and peek down. You can't actually see down. You can't see between the boards there.
Well, the safety has to be really tight.
course, you don't want to be losing audience members from the front row.
Gosh, no, or the actor.
Well, you can afford a few actors, I'm sure. Okay, that's not a joke that's going to work with an artistic director. We're descending the stair outside the main room.
This is the stalls.
Well, this room is my idea of heaven.
Yes.
Passing through between narrow curtains. Now, this really is shabby chic, which is a phrase I don't like, but the description that Anders set us up with is exactly what you'd expect. And then it looks as though it's been re-inhabited. So the piano...
It's baby grand. It's an old piano I bought for one of our music concerts just as an art installation.
It's in dark brown rather than black. The room, despite not having so very many books, a smattering on the shelves here, has the air of a library. And you know, peculiarly, where else it reminds me of is the new library at the Wellcome Institute.
Is that right?
Yes. They use the same palette, really, and they have curios on their shelves that you're invited to go and explore.
Come and pick. Well, we did have somebody. I mean, all of these books come from previous show and the bookshelves from Breakfast of Ills by Robert Holman. So we used them here for our bar and to keep our bottles of wine, books, and glasses. Everybody comes. And I have to say, people love it. We had William Kentridge who came here, and he said, this is like being on a boat. Because as you can see, look at the floor. It's slanted because we're in stalls.
So we are.
What happened is when we got this building, we did not realize that there was asbestos in this building. And we had to close this area for about 9 months. So all of the walls, the carpets, the walls were stripped down from asbestos.
Could you, for me, relive the moment when you found that out?
Well, I nearly had a heart attack, to be honest. Because we had a film screen and the chairs and everything, and then we realized we're going to lose all of that.
Well, as in they were all stuffed with asbestos?
Yes, yeah, they had to remove the curtains, they had to remove the screen, speakers. Everything that had asbestos dust in it had to go.
Okay, this is not a journalist trying to find emotion where there isn't any. You must have felt your heart sink at that point.
Well, we did, I have to say, because 9 months is a long time to wait, but also...
Well, that's a lot of the character of the place as well.
Well, it actually gave a character, and I'm glad, because I did not like the carpets, and I did not like the chairs had to go, because they had lots of bugs, and they're really falling apart. The wallpapers were really kind of... I don't know where they belong, but tried to look posh, and they didn't. So in a way, it did give a character to the building, these stripped walls and beautiful. Look, you can see original color on the floor.
When I arrived today, you had just returned from a flea market with a writing desk under your arm.
Yes.
How much of this is an excuse for you to be spending a lot of time in flea markets?
Oh, it's a lot. I love it. Every Friday I'm there, I have to say, everything here you see came from flea market, or it's something that we had as a set in our previous productions.
I'd like to ask you about you, if I may. It's an incredible project to be involved with and to be driving.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Well, hard to tell. I was born in Croatia, and I moved to America when I was 22. I started fashion, which I did not like very much. I have to say, and very soon I moved into theater design. And because theater was always close to my heart. Worked in New York, moved to London because of my husband's work, had children. And then I decided, knocking on people's doors, looking for work, I thought I'd like to create something where I can give people a wonderful experience that I've seen. And that's how the Hereford Road started. I looked for a small space. I had never had in mind having such a big theater, to be honest.
Because a lot of people could come to this job that you're doing from the perspective of perhaps having been an actor or being a director and wanting to find somewhere to perform or for others to perform. And it sounds almost as though you've come at it from the outside and you've come at it from the materials and the building and the aesthetic and then have reached the content on the stage.
Well, I don't know. It is always, I always think I'm not a director, but all my life I read a lot. I did study literature back home. I watched just about every show that was around. I was always involved in theater. So I don't know. It depends which angle you come from. Maybe that's why this looks the way it does.
We're going to explore further. Where are we off to next?
We're going to go into dressing rooms and see the space number two. At the moment, we have rehearsals for our new dance show called Terra, which is the last part of our trilogy. The other part was Flow, which was based on water. And it's three elements, right? Water, and then we had fire, Ignis, and now Terra, the last one of the three. And it's going to be first time that we're doing it in a main space, the dance, for first time in a main stage. So we're going to go this way.
Across many a rug.
Yes.
If you, listener, happen to be a purveyor of secondhand rugs, you could do worse than look up Anna Winters right now. I think she's got plenty, but I think she may still be in the market for rugs.
I am always in the market. And we can sell them. People do ask us if we would like to sell something. We do have to be a little bit quiet now because we're entering the rehearsal.
Warm as they rehearse via an electric fire which looks like a furnace on wheels.
So right now this is original stage of the theatre. That was the wall was blocked so the previous owners could have two spaces, two cinemas. And this is our second space, which is used as a small theatre. And this would seat about 80 people.
I can't help noticing that there's no space for anyone, for any audience.
There's plenty of space. Just to you, it looks like there is not. But I'll show you some of the images. You can play around.
So the walls move away, do they?
The most, nothing moves here.
But where does the audience go?
Well, at the moment, we don't have any.
Do you strap them to the ceiling?
Of course, they hang from the ceiling. No, we do build seats. You would be amazed.
Oh, so kind of grandstand style.
Yeah, every time it changes. The seating always changes, which each different productions, the seating is different, comes from different angle.
Well, we're nudging out of that space and through a door marked private.
So I'm going to show you the basement now, because what we wanted to build in a basement is actually studio spaces for rehearsals. But it was a bomb shelter during the World War II, so we might be limited to that. Oh, this building is so big, there's absolutely no space for storage here. You'll see. This is all we have. Look at these beautiful doors.
Through some thick... They look like iron.
Iron, yeah.
These iron doors.
Original fire doors.
And...
Now, under the stage. And if you see the beams...
Yes, when you say beams, we're talking about steel girders.
Yes, and this is what it was to protect from bombing during the World War II.
So we've got a sort of corrugated sheeting across there as well. You do get the feeling of the Anderson shelter writ large.
I want to show you orchestra piece.
Moving along. Do you know, it's surprisingly, there's a lot of headroom, given that it's the basement. Normally I find myself crawling on all fours.
Yeah. Oh, really? Well, this was orchestra pit, but this was built as a soundproof wall for the cinema. So we can't really go inside of
it. Well, I better describe this. We've turned at right angles to ourselves, and we've entered a long corridor-like room. The beams are a slightly different shape here. They curve as they meet the wall on the left. It reminds me of those places around the old docks area where the ship's timbers have been used to make the buildings. And The right-hand wall is quite clearly newer. It's made out of breeze blocks.
We're right underneath the stage right now. We're right underneath the stage, and this is where the orchestra would be.
Should we go through?
You can't really go.
Oh, you can't go through?
Have a look.
That's packing ahead. You'll have detected there's a lot more old furniture and so forth. Yeah. And when we poke our heads through, that partition wall has exactly bisected what was obviously a wider room. So the orchestra pit's a really unfriendly place. It really is a pit. It's brick built on both sides. It makes me feel a bit claustrophobic. Yeah. Oh, there's all sorts of interesting little stairwells.
Oh, this used to be a little, but you need to have a light, and we don't. Oh. Non-functional. I tell you, there were barely any laboratories working in this building when we came, so this was quite a big challenge. And as walk up the staircase and see the dressing rooms, you'll see what I'm talking about. For example, we don't have a shower. We're building one right now because you need to have showers for the dancers after the performance and actors. And you need to have more than one lavatory for them. So,
before you were successful here, did you have your sights on other places?
I did look at a few different places, but nothing came as good, actually, and as affordable in this one. Well,
I mean, that's a strange thing to say about somewhere in Notting Hill, isn't it?
I know it is, but because it was a building, a theatre building, I think the value kind of it does go differently.
Because this has often struck me with some of the places in the West End that the upkeep on the places must be astronomical.
They are, but I don't know the details as yet. They're huge.
So the bill has yet to arrive.
Yes, bills are arriving one by one, and that's why I'm totally grey.
No. We're going to move upstairs, I think.
Okay.
Where are we going?
We're going to the dressing rooms now, and eventually to the roof.
Well, this seems like as good a time as any listener to take a break. If you enjoy the show, please reflect your enjoyment on iTunes and give us a review of highly positive nature, if you have the time.
Londonist Out Loud is free every week. You can support the show and Londonist via the Londonist shop, where you'll find excellent gift ideas, including London postcard t-shirts, the Secrets of the Tube DVD, chunky logo mugs, tote bags, hoodies, the Inspector Sands tea, and the Londonist Oyster card holder. Treat yourself, support us, and share your love of London at londonist.com/shop.
You're listening to Londonist Out Loud. I'm N. Quentin Wolfe, and we are at the Coronet. And, well, it's a difficult room to describe. Actually, I can tell you who's in it with me, and that is Anna Winters, who is the artistic director of the print room at the Coronet. And, well, let me take it wall by wall. On one wall, we have a fake bookcase, and it's a big fake bookcase. Somebody's put a lot of time into pretending that they've got a bookcase here. It's built into an arched recess in the wall. At the far end, what should be a mirror, really, but is in fact a wood-framed window looking out at an entirely interior area with a pipe running through it. There's an empty birdcage. There is a bar chair stuck up in the top right-hand corner where the ceiling meets the wall, and it's got a clock built into its base. Somebody's been enjoying cigarettes. And then we have several benches here, and it looks as though they have consumed a load of chairs because the backs of the chairs are sticking out of the benches, and there are cards and flowers. This looks like a star's dressing room, but from another dimension.
Yes. We have 12 dressing rooms here, and this is the first one. This used to be, this particular one was the only dressing room that was really opened when I first came in, and it used to be a popcorn storage room. So we needed to decorate this as best as we could, and by not really damaging anything original. It's called as a Janet Tuzman dressing room. This is what we call it. It's a very much loved room, and a lot of things that you see here came from years of collecting from my previous life.
I know that having spoken to people who've worked as maids or housekeeping workers, that when they turn over a hotel room, they find out all sorts of things. What have you found out in your... We don't have to name names, but what sort of things have you learned about people from hosting people in dressing rooms?
Very messy. I have to say. Messy. Different people like different things. Tea is very important here. Tea, water, sometimes cigarettes, but not really. They can't smoke here.
In the scheme of things, these sound like relatively wholesome vices. I guess part of me is wondering what else you've learned.
Well, you know, we don't really go inside their dressing rooms because they like their privacy. It's only when they leave that we found letters, notes.
Yes, now we're getting to the good stuff, yes.
Yeah, but don't really look through them or
I don't believe you.
Yes. No, I'm serious.
You've never been tempted to...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Just in the interest of recording the history of the theatre, you've never been interested in...
No, honestly, I haven't really... you have to respect their privacy, so I don't, to be honest.
I think 10 years from now, a book will be published, letters that I found in the dressing room of my theatre.
Notes, hateful notes, maybe. We'll see.
We're passing out now through the stairwell... Do you know, there was an institution that we recorded at once, and very unusually their PR people demanded that they be allowed to check through every detail of the recording before they gave it the green light. We don't normally do that. And they were very, very upset because we'd mentioned that the paint was peeling in part of their place. Now, if the same rule was applied here, this would not be a long broadcast.
No, actually, I don't want to really touch this because this is so historical and so beautiful that to trying to paint it, you would ruin it.
Absolutely.
So I tried to keep every room as much as it is, and you'll see it as we're going up. So this is Arthur's green room. We had to paint this room because this room particularly, it had actually better energy, to be honest. Mm. And so we had to paint this room. It had lots of wallpaper that was peeling off from the 70s and lots of stains.
Not a good era for wallpaper.
Well, it depends, but this particular one wasn't good. So this is sort of room where we can open couches and people, actors and creatives can lie down and relax.
Yes, this is a festival of lounging going on here.
And then we're on to kitchen. Head door.
Well, the smell of, I think it's tea, is overpowering.
Yeah, it is tea and maybe a little bit of curry.
Oh, curry, yes, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe fresh fruits. We always bring fresh fruits every day for...
You know, I just naturally assume they were wax. I think there's something about being in a theatrical place.
And seeing a real
actual fruit
doesn't look real.
Looks too good. Now, one of the things that happens in a big building is that the scale of it dwarfs the achievements. If your kitchen, listener, had been transformed to the degree that this kitchen clearly has been, you'd think a quarter of my house has been improved. But because this is just one room among many, it's easy to overlook that. But this is a lot of work that's gone in here.
It is a lot of work, but it's a lot of love, I have to say. And we built everything ourselves, including the concrete tops. So we try to really do everything very tight. and it wasn't spent much money. I mean, if £200 altogether.
What was your strategy here? Did you rope in assistance from willing family members, or how did you go about this?
Well, I don't know. I just pure madness, I guess. You know, going to IKEA, going to flea markets and finding things actually on the streets. When you drive around, you find furniture and then you paint them and they look good.
Out we go. We're going upstairs again now. I think I've lost count of how many floors up we are.
I think we're on the third floor now. So, remember, all of these rooms were closed. Oop. So, we had to build a lavatory.
Yes, we are looking at the lavatory.
And now, we're going into the dressing rooms. This is ladies' dressing room. As you can see, it's quite basic. They're quite small. They're all same size. And look at the windows. Aren't they unusual?
But they're mottled so that you can't see through them.
Yeah. But I'll
Does that mean that these used to be a washroom or something?
No, these were original dressing rooms. You see, I left the original wallpaper on this wall so you can see what it looked like.
Goodness me. So this is 1898 style wallpaper.
And it looks. This is the back of the wallpaper. Sorry, I just seen it. Look at this wall over there.
It's turquoise with a gold pattern that's
every window in this building was painted black. And we had to, this was the first thing we ever did. We had to scrape down the black paint from inside and outside to be able to get some light in these rooms.
I can't tell you what an exciting project this is. Well, I don't need to tell you what an exciting project this is. But the idea that something like this could be so locked away from public view and any kind of use right in the heart of things like this is so strange, isn't it?
That is. So look at this room. This is totally untouched. Look at the paint.
We're in another dressing room. This is as you found it?
This is as we found it, yes. And we're not touching it because I think it's so beautiful. Look at this. Nobody could recreate this again, these beautiful colours on the walls.
It's difficult to know how much of this is tides of dirt that have appeared on the different colours of paint. That you can clearly see where different greens and reds have been splashed across, and time has fuzzed the edges up so that it get a cloudy effect. But then it's difficult to know where, for example, furniture might have been leant against the wall and allowed some patches to be lighter. And then as we turn towards the window, the stripped effect on the wooden panels, and oh wow, we can see a tiny wooden door in the wall there, not even a foot and a half wide.
You can see the holes into this wood. This is where the original sinks were. Now we don't have a water here at the moment.
Oh, so you've got toilets but no water?
Not in this part of
the wall. Oh, I see.
Well, yes, we do have it. Just
saving up for the water. Incredible, and a smell that's completely indescribable, in a positive way. We've arrived at a landing full of bird cages. What's with all the bird cages?
I used to have them at the Hereford Road because we had a beautiful garden. So we used them around the garden with the candles to give some light. But we had to bring everything with us. We can't leave anything behind.
Now then, if you've ever been in a bad antique shop, where all they've got left are the items that you probably don't quite want to buy. This is the room we find ourselves in now. It is all about wine glasses, cups, macchiato cups, tea urns, many, many plates. When you say that these are props, how many meals appear in your shows?
Well, there's one coming very soon, but I can't talk about it yet. Not really, but we do have parties sometimes, and so we do use them.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I'm just going to crush some of the glasses underfoot there.
Now I'm going to take it to wonderful.
We're now moving across the landing to the club room.
So this is our little private club room.
Well, I'm in love with this room already. Here are some of the things to fall in love with. A wind chime made of spoons as you come in. Antique musical instruments, violins, a trumpet. Some of the furniture is to die for. And the best bit, because I'm a big fan of little mezzanine levels and split-level rooms, where you can go up a little staircase at the end here, and it has got the most exquisite ram's head banister rail knob. And as we go up the steps, oh, this gets better and better. So there's a... At the top of the steps, there's this flight down, which looks like they might take you out of the building eventually.
No, it takes us down to the god seats, which are...
Takes us to the gods?
Yes.
This is the good stuff.
I believe this is where the chorus used to be, but we don't know.
Well, this is a penthouse apartment, really, isn't it?
It is lovely, yes. It's one of my favourite area of the theatre.
Light streaming in from the skylight. Again, these walls are a fusion of all sorts of different paints from many a period. The overall palette is kind of pastels, lilacs, light greens, a little bit of sky blue. Makes you think you're stuck in a Monet.
Yes. Well, this room, when we found it, you couldn't really walk through it. There was rubble down to the ankles, dust, concrete, basically junk. Windows, again, were painted black, so it was very hard to see. This was boarded up, so none of the light was coming here. And then with the flashlight, as we're looking, we found this here on the wall, which are World War II airplanes. And we believe that during the World War II, there are people who were watching for the airplanes and guarding maybe Notting Hill. So you can see there is... and we protected it with the glass because we don't want this to disappear.
Yeah, quite seriously, somebody's done a very accurate drawing of a, I think it's a Messerschmitt 109E.
And the Japanese.
And we've got the Japanese Zero. Well, maybe that puts a hole in your theory, though, because they wouldn't have been spotting Japanese planes here, would they?
No, but I don't know why Japanese flag, maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe it wasn't. It looks like. So you can find more drawings as we move through the rooms, which is all protected, again, by the glass.
There are a lot of chaise lounge here, which make me want to sit down and recline in glorious decline. But the smell as we move into this area, it's got damp and plaster mixed together. And this there's nothing that says old building and renovation like that smell. What happens if we go further that way?
This used to be... lavatory here.
I'm good at finding the lavatories.
But there's no lavatory here at the moment, as you can see. It used to have a chair here that disappeared now, but sometimes people come and read in this corner because it's very quiet. It is cold, though. You can tell there's no heating in this part of the building.
Well, the whole floor... So we've traversed the width of the building on this floor, and the nook that we're in now, well, it's just a corridor that ends abruptly. And there's a load of scatter cushions there, and a book, and a magnifying glass. Well, I'll take it. It's a deal.
Okay.
How much do we agree on?
Sometimes we do have... You can have it for free. we do have rehearsals sometimes here. We had Catherine Hunter here doing a little bit of workshop. So we do use this room not only for... as a little event room, but we use it also to do rehearsing or auditions and so on when the weather is better, not now. It's too cold. But there's no heating. So this is something we have to work on. The heating actually stopped working about a month ago, so we had to buy a new system. And this is why you saw a lot of blankets on the chairs. Now, I can take you to the god seats, but it's very dark and we don't have a light, so I don't know whether you're interested just to have a look.
Well, we don't need pictures.
Good.
Are we going? Which way are we going?
We're going out and I'll take you to the roof.
Oh, okay. So down a curved staircase with old film reels there piled up and through a big, heavy set of doors. We've kind of cut through a signature red corridor. Well, this is not what I was expecting. Andra is gesturing at what looks like a shutter.
This is what every window looked like, painted black. So this is, when you walked in, this is what you would see.
And you can just see some tiny scraps of light. We can't see through at all.
But now we're in the god seats, and look at this.
Oh, this is amazing. Right, now let me just describe where we are, because I'm turned about. We've emerged. Imagine that you had arrived at the theatre and your seat is right at the top of the house, and the doorway that you use to get to your seat is about six or seven rows down from the top. So you come in at the side, and if I peer over this curtain, and I must say this feels precarious knowing what I know about the building, and I'll peek over this curtain and I can see the stage Not forgetting that that's a suspended fake stage. And there is... there's my coat sitting on the couch where we first met. So I'm turning back now to the darkened final few rows of seats up here. This is quite creepy.
Well, it's creepy because it's dark. And so you can imagine this is what I... This is what I saw when I first came here, just darkness, and it looked creepy. But if we climb up, you'll see there used to be an old bar area, which is absolutely beautiful. Now, I think we shouldn't go there because it's not safe at the moment, which is a shame. And if we'll use a different staircase, actually, so I can show you one of the original lavatories, men's rooms, absolutely beautiful, with original... tiles and sinks, which is very rare to find these days.
That'll be your fourth lavatory of the tour, listener, so don't say I don't treat you. The silence. I think we've encountered 10 or so people in the building. And even with that, and even though we're looking down onto a brightly illuminated stage, and we can hear the traffic in the background, and yet there's still a deadness to the air here, which is quite remarkable. There's a solidity, a presence.
So this here was the entrance for the god seats. It was a separate entrance from the main theatre.
This is for your VIPs.
Yes.
Okay, so back the way we came. And we're going to just nip in through that kind of penthouse area that we were talking about. Is it all right if I start moving my stuff in on the weekend?
Of course.
Okay. Well, then we come another room, more or less the same size as the various dressing rooms and lounges that we were looking at on lower floors. But... because we're near the top of the building, light streams in from above.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
A lot of raw brick going on in this one.
And that's another one.
And the theme of this room is wicker and tweed. The paint and the plaster have given way, and it's just the wall of the building, which, if it's as old as all that, that's going to be the outside wall, isn't it?
Yes, this is outside of the wall.
Without any cavities or any of that stuff, that is one. We're one brick away from freedom.
Yes, one hopes. And now we're at the top and going to the roof and see. Voila! Please be very careful, it's slippery.
Okay.
Now you can have a view of the entire Notting Hill. And you can see all the way down to the most to the city.
We're looking down onto Notting Hill Gate. To my left as I emerge, we have a terrace of buildings in brown brick. To the right, the turret of the coronet. And down we go down a metal staircase. There are lots of metal staircases and bridges and ladders with protective cages. It being a theatre, there is, of course, a twice life-size hand sculpture.
Careful, it's very slippery, honestly. This is an old ventilation system to the theatre, and when we first came to the roof, it was packed with pigeons. It looked something like Ansel Kipfer actually made. It really looked like a sculpture.
The thing we're in front of is a giant fan that wouldn't look out of place as part of the Titanic.
No.
And over to the other side of the roof. And this is a vantage point that many people will have seen this part of town from. And it's completely changed my impression of the area. I think only if you happen to live in one of the upper floors of these buildings will you have seen this. But we're looking down onto those vari-coloured Notting Hill terraced streets. It's quite serene.
It is. And then famous cupola. It used to have a sculpture of a Mercury on the top, because if you remember, Rambert started in this neighborhood. And sort of in the 30s, there was a group of artists who used to meet in a Mercury studio, who was just around the block. And every Sunday they would have a performance, and this is how Rambert then started. And there was a Mercury sculpture on the top, and whether it was taken for to sell it as end up in somebody's garden or used as a bullet, I don't know.
When was the last time it was seen?
You know, nobody knows. We only see it through the photographs. So we would like to commission, actually we did commission an artist who is going to do something for the cupola. And this is our little... The rugs are missing because they're part of the set at the moment. And also, again, windows were painted. We scraped them and we had to replace them because they're really in a bad and dangerous shape. So we had to replace the frame and the windows itself.
It is a magical place. We're in a cylindrical room. So, of course, we can see through the 10 or 12 windows all aspects of the area. And I've learned to expect this now. The room is scattered with scatter cushions and a few rugs.
Yes, so we do have lots. This is carpeted in rugs, but as I said, it's at the moment on a stage. It's a wonderful room to come and do the reading or just have a little discussions.
Now, I want to ask you about the floor. It's notable for having across it in parallel lines four enormous cracks. Five enormous cracks. And I felt a bit of give there as I walked across it. Now, I've been up places like the belt. Don't do that. She's jumping. Don't jump. What would you do that for? The fastest way to get back to the foyer.
All the way down, yes. Yes, we're right above the foyer.
Yes. That was very much on my mind.
I have to say, we did have structural engineers come and check all of these cracks in buildings of this age. They are normal. But, of course... You know, there is some rusted bits and pieces that do look scary.
I didn't know what to expect. This place is absolutely mind-blowing.
Thank you.
Really incredible.
I know. Well, listen, it was only a year and a half ago that we sort of seen this building for first time.
Huh.
Right? It used to be a cinema and people would go to them to watch the movies, but they had no idea what's behind the other door, right?
Tell me about the... future of the place, and we're in that part of the show where we have to start winding down and summing up. But what is the future looking like to you? How do you see it playing?
Well, as I said, I would love it to be a center where people would always like to come here, expect good work, expect interesting work, a place that they have not heard of or seen before. Seeing a dance piece by wonderful choreographers, whether they're new and upcoming or well-established ones, seeing wonderful art exhibits, having a place. We would like to have a little restaurant here because that helps with the funding of the theater and the work we're doing here, where also people could come for coffee, read a newspaper, and mingle with artists, have wonderful music open, like wouldn't be wonderful to use a roof for open-air concerts, small, where you have your coffee and you have good jazz or classical music. Have also cinema, small one, because I don't know if we can afford now the big screen, where we would show independent films, documentaries, educational films, foreign films, for example, as well. So build a kind of international space, but home for everybody, and I'd like to see more diversity here, to be honest. I really would.
I can't tell you how excited I am by the prospect of it. And I must say, doing this job, I do get invited to places that are starting out or trying something new, and not every single one is as exciting as the PR. This place is exhilarating. I can't wait to see this place grow.
Oh, thank you. Well, you will. It does take time, I have to say. It was almost like opening Pandora's box, not knowing what to expect. And I thought, oh, well, a year or two, but actually it's much longer term to build. First, we need to get electricity sorted out, lighting, equipment, everything. And it does take time. We're kind of trying to work as we're doing the work in the building. And we're not going to make it glossy, like Easter egg. We're going to try to keep it as beautiful as it is.
I'm honoured to have had a chance to see it at this early stage. If you're interested, of course, listener, you can find out more. What's the best way to do that?
It's just look at www.com. the/print/room.org.
Those slashes, they're hyphens. The hyphen print hyphen room dot org. Let that URL be your friend.
Yes, well, I guess it was the cheapest one we could get.
From the print room, from the Coronets, Andrew Winters, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. My heart aches for some far off place. No one cut us their view
with your name, how you raised us. Love's fate can be free. And that's all for this week. My thanks for this week to Andrew Winters. Thanks to Veronica Humphreys and Bernie Barkley. Theme and incidental music was by Songs from the Howling Sea. I'm N. Quentin Wolfe.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.